Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. And beloved, God is in the miracle working business. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. I'm glad you joined me today. And this week we began looking at a new subject, a teaching that I haven't done in a long time, about the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we were looking at not only what they, an overview of what they are, but why did God give them to the church? And as I shared on previous broadcasts, he had a twofold purpose: to demonstrate what he can do and who he is. In other words, his character, his power, that's what he can do, and who he is, that he's a God of love and mercy and loving kindness. And so we haven't gotten very far. We've just been looking at his attributes, his character. And I shared, the spiritual gifts are not for those in leadership only, but for every single member of the body of Christ. And I will prove that to you by the word of God. Paul is very clear. And in fact, you know, I've discussed the spiritual gifts, but we haven't really delineated them in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. In fact, that 12th, 13th, and 14th chapter are so rich in powerful, glorious, beautiful truths for us. It talks about the spiritual gifts, and then, of course, that familiar and beautiful chapter on a description of love. And then he goes on giving more instruction to the Corinthian church on spiritual gifts in chapter 14. So there's many important things that we need to learn in there. He begins chapter 12 by saying, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And then he goes on, he said, "You know that when you were Gentiles, carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." And then he goes on, he says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all and in all." Listen to this. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Then he goes on to outline them. "For to one..." Now, he doesn't say fivefold leadership. He doesn't say fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He's saying the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." And he goes on to say, you know, if you're a foot, you can't say, "Well, you know, I'm not of the body," or "I'm not needed," or "We need to be happy where God has placed us," because he knows best in his omniscience, in his wisdom. In fact, that's where we were. And I'd like to return to that. We talked about his omnipresence. Now I'd like to take a few moments to look at his omnipotence. That is, he's omnipotent. That means this attribute of God is seen in extraordinary healing miracles and deliverances, which occur as God grants them. It's one thing to know that God is all-powerful, but it is quite another thing to experience it. The man lame from birth at the gate Beautiful, just think about that experience. He had been lame, he'd never walked, and yet when John and Peter spoke to him and they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk, beloved, he was a strength and supernatural healing was administered to him, and he was able to rejoice and praise God because of what God had done in his behalf. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Praise God. So, beloved, you know, think about that. In just a few fleeting seconds, he became the recipient of God's eternal power. So many through the ages have been healed by this very same power of God, and we're seeing it today. Now, I know there are many skeptics and critics who say that such things couldn't happen today, but the Church of the Living Lord Jesus Christ says, let God be God. Beloved, the gifts of the Spirit are one way in which we can let God be God as his attributes are administered among us by his divine selection and grace. The attributes or qualities of God listed in a good theology book point out that God is all-present, all-powerful, all-knowing, unchangeable, holy, righteous, just, good, and truthful. And think about this, beloved. All nine gifts of the Spirit serve to demonstrate these qualities of God. If I could say it another way, the gifts of the Spirit are the vehicle by which God demonstrates himself to the world. In 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 17, the word says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Who moves among us when the Spirit of God moves? Well, it's Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. While we're not to confuse the persons of the triune Godhead, the Trinity, we are to see them working together. He does the work in Jesus' place, and he is that other comforter or one just like Jesus in quality. Remember, Jesus said with his disciples, he said, it's needful for me to go away, because if I don't go away, the comforter won't come. And so he was saying, you want the Holy Spirit with you, and don't be worried, don't be afraid, because he's just like me. You'll find that he's not any different, and you'll be very at home with him. Welcome him, because he's there to help you and to teach you and to lead you into all truth. So in summary then, the gifts of the Holy Spirit demonstrate the reality, the love, the power, and mercy of the Lord. And wouldn't you say that the world is in dire need of such demonstration in these days of turmoil, fear, and unrest? What a blessing to sin-sick souls, to those who are terminally ill, to broken hearts, to have God come on the scene in his marvelous display of tender mercy and divine aid. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We should all desire that. And so that's why Paul says, I don't want you ignorant. And I'm going to go on and share in 1 Corinthians 12:31, he says, but covet or desire earnestly the best gifts. So how may one receive spiritual gifts? Well, in this 31st verse, he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And what does he do? In the middle of this teaching on spiritual gifts, he sandwiches that glorious chapter on love, chapter 13, that begins, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and of not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith, see, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit here, so that I could remove mountains. But if I don't have charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it doesn't do me any good. It profits nothing. Think about that powerful statement that he's making. So we're to follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. When we walk in love, beloved, the gifts of the Spirit will have a proper environment in which to shine. Love must be joined with earnest desire. Love and the earnest desire for the manifestation of the Spirit. If we do that, that will result in the Holy Spirit manifesting Himself through us, and as well as faith. You know, we don't have to get holy. We don't have to arrive in a perfect state of perfection, and then God can use us. We just have to walk humbly before the Lord, desire to give Him the glory, desire to move in the gifts, but to have that motivating factor, have love. You know, I'll never forget, for those of you who've been familiar with the ministry, in recent years, God has called me to minister to Native Americans, and that desire has always been there. In fact, I lived at the Duck Valley Reservation for 2 years, just a few years ago. But at any rate, I can remember years ago, we were in Oakland, and Brother Glass was still alive, and we were having services at International Faith Center on MacArthur in Oakland, and there were two dear ladies who came all the way from San Jose, and one I'm still in contact with, the other dear sister, Isabel, she was Lakota Sioux and has since gone on to be with the Lord. But when I would go back and forth to Oklahoma, I would stop, and I would hear Roberta tell me the most wonderful stories of their experiences together. They would go off, and the Lord would lead them on reservations, and people would say, I saw four people in the car, and there were only two of them as they set out coffee cups. And there was an experience she told me. I sat with wide open eyes, mouth open. She tells about Isabel. It was on Thanksgiving. She was in prayer, and she was, you know, preparing Thanksgiving dinner and basting the turkey, and she went into her room to pray. The Lord took her in the spirit 200 miles away to minister to an uncle, to minister the gospel, walked past the nurse's station, no one was there, ministered to him, walked past, no one was there, didn't see anybody, and the next thing she knew, she was back in her in her bedroom. God had transported her like Philip, and as she did all these wonderful things, she didn't even want people to know her name, because she wanted Jesus to get all the glory. Beloved, she was just a little nameless woman, as far as the world is concerned, but well-known in heaven. I encourage you to do the same. Praise God. So until tomorrow, my time's gone. May God's richest blessings forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.